Hello everyone, welcome to chapter 3, which is marketing analytic models. So in this particular chapter, what we are going to do is we are going to study various machine learning and analytical models that you can use for different types of analysis or for understanding different types of prediction and model evaluation that you can do and to deploy to understand what the data looks like or what is the trend in the data and all of those. This is primarily getting into AI, which is artificial intelligence, and from there we will get into various aspects of AI, which are subsets, which is basically machine learning, deep learning. We will understand the various models that are there, even as supervised learning, unsupervised learning. So all your segmentation models will come under unsupervised learning. The rest of the models will go into supervised learning, where I'm able to give labeled data and train the model. We will speak about them. And then we have a concept of neural networks, and we'll get into and talk about models based on neural networks. The only scope of this entire chapter is that you are able to understand which model data model might work tentatively, which model might work tentatively for your data, what models can you look at. What does each model, at least the basic understanding of the models that are there, and especially models that will form a very important part of your crucial aspect of your marketing analytics. So let's look at only specifically marketing analytic models. Are these models only specific to marketing analysis? No, they are not. They can be used anywhere, and basically if you have a understanding of them, setting up the model or building the model becomes an easier task. So, analytical models. Data-driven decision making has improved the decision making accuracy manifold. So, when we talk about analytical models, one thing before I go into the depth, it's also important for you all to understand that everything when we talk about an analytical model is everything when I talk about an analytical model is about the size of the data, the hidden patterns in the data, and today everything runs on models. Your entire Netflix recommendation engine, your Amazon market basket analysis, this is all what we will talk about when we talk about analytical models. So data driven decision making has improved the decision making accuracy manifold. The rise of digital marketing channels and increasing availability and complexity of customer data has paved the way for the development of sophisticated data modeling techniques. So again, we will talk about some this is something we will discuss later, where we talk about data collection, we talk about data integration, and then we talk about building a data modeling technique on top of it. What is data modeling? Data modeling is a process of creating a structured representation of data to understand relationships, attributes, and rules for effective analysis and management. Data modeling involves creating mathematical or statistical representation of marketing data to uncover patterns, relationships, and trends. A marketing data analytics model is a framework that is used to analyze and interpret marketing data to gain insights and make informed decisions. It involves collecting, organizing, and analyzing data to understand customer behavior, trends, and preference, enabling businesses to optimize their marketing strategy and improve overall performance. So what are we going to talk about? Analyzing, interpreting, gaining insight, and using that insight to make decisions, whether it is regarding to the customer behavior, the trends, the preferences, upskilling, downskilling, and growth in the businesses. Aims of data modeling. Why do we have data modeling? Understanding customer preferences and segmentation, enabling business to tailor their marketing efforts to specific target audiences, and not even to specific target audiences, to customize the entire experience for the user, predicting customer behavior such as purchasing patterns or churn rates. Allowing companies to proactively respond and optimize their strategies, map and analyze the customer journey, identify touch points, pain points, and opportunities for engagement. So, allowing companies to proactively respond and optimize their strategies. That because I can have real-time analytics, I can forecast and predict the future, and accordingly I can build my strategies around that. Map and analyze the customer journey, identify touch points, where is the customer coming from, what is the pain points he's facing, and where I have the opportunity of changing my engagement levels. Assessing the impact of marketing initiatives and allocating resources effectively. So by doing that, I can understand the impact and advocate, I get a better ROI for my marketing efforts. Key components: data collection, data cleaning and preparation, data integration, data analysis techniques. Please understand, data collection, data cleaning and preparation, data integration, data analysis is all a very important part of the entire journey. Key performance or KPIs: specific metrics that indicate the success or performance of marketing initiative and track progress towards goals. So KPIs always help me to understand where do I stand and how close or near am I to my goal, because something like marketing and all can never be quantitatively measured. So this is a way to give you a quantitative idea as to where the marketing efforts are going. Then we have data visualization, which is basically presenting the data in visual formats in the form of graphs, charts. Again, why? Because it is easier for me to interpret these kind of images and make quick decisions rather than a quantitative or a numeric data. Model validation, validating if my model, making the model by ensuring that it is working in the current way, and is it giving me the kind of output I'm expecting. Then making my decisions and optimizing the strategies that I need to do. And finally, continuous improvement, where the data is changing very dynamically. So based on the market trends and behaviors, I would continuously want to keep improving the model, feeding more data, understanding the output better. Important marketing models and analysis techniques. So we have, this is what I was telling about, customer churn prediction model, customer acquisition model, recommendation model, marketing mix, attribution model, cluster analysis, customer segmentation, time series analysis, market basket analysis, pricing analysis, market size analysis, trend analysis, customer lifetime value, brand analysis, lead scoring model, customer commitment model, customer analysis, and propensity modeling. We will discuss all of these in detail. So let's first go to the churn prediction model. Basically, what does the churn stand for? People leaving my organization. So a very simple example of churn for you all to understand is, normally we, due to the mobile number portability, if we do not get a good coverage or we have issues or even pricing concern, we tend to change our service providers. And now the moment I start porting out and I port it into a new provider, it becomes a churn. That means the organization I was earlier with, or the telecommunication provider I was earlier with, was basically, I've left it and move to a new one. That is what a churn is. So churn prediction model forecasts the likelihood of customers leaving or discontinuing the relationship with a company based on the behavior with the company's product. So that accounts for customer churn. You have employee churn also, where employees leave the organization and go. It is a predictive model that calculates on an individual customer basis the likelihood that a customer will stop doing the business with the firm. The ability to predict churn before it happens allow businesses to take proactive actions to keep existing customers from churning. So the moment I know if there is an earlier intimation, so precaution is obviously better than cure, before I've acquired the MNP, where I've already, the moment I take out a port out number, I've already communicated that I would be leaving the organization. My decision is made. So if I can predict that this customer, based on certain patterns and trends, is likely to leave my organization in the future, I might want to stop it. So take a preventive action rather than just working with it, so I can stop that customer or retain that customer much before and by offering him the right offers or building the right strategy. So preventive actions could include business reaching out to those high-risk customers to provide support or to gauge what needs are not being met, providing more targeted re-engagement campaigns like reminder emails, creating more focused customer education content, and re-evaluating larger or company-wide retention techniques like prices. So I could do any of these depending is what is my business, what is the reason the customer is leaving, and multiple variables that come into the picture. So churn prediction is a binary classifier, which means it divides the customer into two distinct groups, classes, based on whether or not they leave the company or not. So basically it's more like a 0-1 or a 1-2 kind of a data where it clearly will differentiate this will churn, this will not churn. How do I build a churn prediction model? Both quantitative and qualitative are needed for building this churn prediction model. So please understand, the churn prediction model is a part of what we call as supervised learning. So in supervised learning, the first thing you require is labeled data. That means I will already have historical data which is will have the answer as to which were the customers in the past who are still with the organization or people who have churned out. So I'll probably put a yes no, a true false, or maybe a 0-1, either of those combinations. So and based on that, the system or the model will learn what the patterns were that caused the output, and for the future data set it will be able to predict that. So let's get into details. Data collection. The data set should include the first thing, a target variable, which I said was already your labeled data, which is the feature you would like to predict. In a churn prediction model, the target variable would be the indicator signifying customers' likelihood to churn, yes or no or 1-0, and will be obtained from historical data of existing customers and previous customers. Features. Which are the data points that describe your customers? Often captured from sources like CRM, web analytic tool, customer feedback surveys, and more. The specific features will be used, could be used, may vary based on business, but broadly can include data like. So, before I go into what are the data, features might come from multiple data sources. I might need to integrate data from data sources again to give me a holistic view of my customer. The more the holistic the view or the more complete view I get of the customer, the better is the churn prediction. Feature usage, metric like customer behavior within your product over a period of time, customer success metric, customer satisfaction score or net promoter score. Metadata for B2B company, it may include demographics like company size, industry, etc. While for a B2C company, it might include demographics like age, gender and profession. So metadata is nothing but data about the data. That means what is the data that is stored in the data, what is the definition of that data element. Engagement metrics. This would ensure measure actions of customer engagement, like a customer allowing to use the logo, customers agreeing to speak at events, and etc. So that now, since we've spoken about the features, we get into feature engineering. What is feature engineering? Very crucial step in churn prediction. It involves creating new features from the existing data that can improve the model's predictive power. For example, you derive features such as average time between transactions, frequencies of logins, and customer tenure. So, like I said, it's going to be data which is collected from multiple sources. Now, once I've done the feature selection, I will have the model selection. So, various machine learning can be used for churn prediction. So what models can I use? Logistic regression, because it is a binary, so I can use There are two kinds of regression. There is linear regression, which helps me predict quantitative numbers, and logistic, which helps me predict a flag or a 0-1 value. Then I have decision trees, random forest, gradient boosting machines, sub vector machines, and neural networks. The choice of the model depends on the size of the data, the complexity of the problem, the interpretability requirements, and computational resources available. Understand, when it comes to models, you can use multiple models. You mostly will have to use multiple models to ensure that you're getting the right model, which is neither overfitting or underfitting the data. It has to be the right fit to the data and should be able to give you accurate results. There's nothing like 100% accuracy. Model training and validation. The historical data is divided into training and validation sets. The model is trained on the training data and validated on the validation data to ensure it generalizes well to new or unseen data. Techniques like K-fold cross-validation often used to assess the model's performance on different subsets of the data. So what are you going to do is, basically you have a large data set. Sometimes you get training and testing or validation data in three different formats, or sometimes you just get them in one data set. So what do? I can use tools that are available to divide the training into all three, which is training, testing, and validation. What is the difference? Training data is the largest data set which I use to train the model. Testing is where the model with itself or the system will itself run, use the testing data to evaluate what is the accuracy. So for both the training and the testing data, the label data is mentioned. It is able to predict the accuracy because while testing the data, it evaluates the predicted results with the existing results and it says how close it was to those results. And validation is when I put another data which does not have the predicted value and I ask it to predict the value to see is it working right or is it not working right. K-fold, I will use multiple layers of data basically as a cross validation. Model evaluation and tuning. So obviously, once I have finalized my model, I would want to, if there are cases where I will try multiple models but only one model seems to be working and that also is not working as predicted, so I might want to fine tune it a bit to get a better result. Understand, please, I'm not talking about aiming for 100% accuracy, but you're talking about getting the accuracy as close. You do not want to overfit the model also. So the model's performance is evaluated using metrics such as accuracy, precision, recall, F1 score, and ROC-AUC. What does ROC-AUC stand for? Operating, receiver operating characteristic, area under the curve. So let's first understand what is the ROC-AUC score. ROC-AUC score is a single number that summarizes the classifier's performance across all possible classification thresholds. To get the score, measure the area under the ROC curve. This score is a popular metric to evaluate the performance of binary classifiers. So that's the definition, practically says us all. It is. So if you see in the diagram, this is basically area under the curve. So I'm basically checking that my performance and what is it under all possible thresholds. Okay, so the most used churn prediction model in machine learning, ML basically stands for machine learning, is logistic regression. What is logistic regression? It is an ML model that is widely used in cases where the target variables can take only one of the two possible types. That is, the model predicts the mathematical relation between a set of independent variables and a dependent binary variable. So the independent variables become the features, and the dependent binary variable is basically nothing but the target variable. The logistic regression model uses customer's characteristics to estimate the probability of a customer churning out. So various characteristics, it could be usage characteristics, it could be a lot of other characteristics, international usage, local usage, mobile data usage, and all of that to predict why is the customer churning out. Then we come to the next machine learning algorithm, which is the Bayes algorithm. This algorithm evaluates the probability of the occurrence of an event by considering the previous information of the variables associated with it. So previous information of the variables associated with, that means basically how does it affect. It is a classification ML algorithm based on Bayes algorithm. It is a supervised, again a supervised. The moment I talk about target variable being present or labeled data being present in the data, I talk about supervised learning. That gives equal weightage to all the independent variables that contribute to evaluating the probability. The output in this algorithm is a class label and a corresponding probability. For customer churn predictive analytic application, this model deduces the probability of a customer choosing to stick with a specific service provider or choosing another one. So basically it will give you he will stay or he will churn. Then we have decision trees. Why is it called a decision tree? Because of its structure. This model produces a tree-like structure that reflects a set of decision values. It estimates the probability for each class label. Decision trees primarily contain three types of nodes: internal, branches, and leaf node. It is one of the most popularly used models for churn prediction because it can be used for predicting continuous as well as categorical values. So you have continuous like age and all, which is a continuous number, or categorical, which is in categories. Then we have, so we spoke about logistic, which is the most commonly used. Then we have Bayes algorithm, which is also another model that is commonly used, decision trees, and now we talk about support vector machines or SVM. This model is used for deducing hidden patterns in the data set. It is a supervised learning method that uses mathematical equation to represent a given set of variables in a high dimensional space and identifies the best separating hyperplanes between the samples of various classes. New samples are represented in the same high dimensional space and labeled with a class based on its proximity to the hyperplane. The model performs very well when used to predict a churn. Again, supervised learning, here it uses more complex mathematical equations because it takes everything into a high dimensional plane and creates separate hyperlines. And based on the proximity close to which hyperplane it is close to, it will basically put that class variable in. Then we have linear discriminant analysis or LDA. This involves the utilization of combination of feature variables to determine the labeling class. Like regression analysis, it describes the relation between the target variable and a set of feature variables that corresponds to the highest probability. The possibilities of LDA are evaluated using the Bayes theorem. It can be used for various classification problems like customer churn prediction and all of that. So what it does, it assigns a class label to a set of feature variables that corresponds to the most highest probability that this is the probability that it's going to happen. Then we have GBM, which is gradient boosting machine. It is an ensemble technique that builds multiple weak learners to create a strong predictive model, often leading to a higher accuracy. Neural networks, this is what I was also mentioning earlier. Deep learning models like neural networks can learn complex patterns in the data and are suitable for churn prediction when large amounts of data are available. So neural networks have to do more with the where AI talks about depicting the human brain, and while depicting the human brain is composed of something we call as neurons, and depending on every time you learn something new, it has to create new pathways or it can traverse along the old pathways or the synapses. So the same thing, since that is a very complex thing to be able to integrate, what do? You basically, neural networks are created, which is a layer-wise approach where each component of the layer is called as a neural network, and each layer basically then further segregates the data. XGBoost and LightGB GB, we said gradient boosting machine. These are gradient boosting libraries that become popular for churn prediction due to their efficient implementation and high performance. The choice of the specific model depends on factors like size of the database, interpretability requirements, computational resources, the desired trade-offs between accuracy and complexity. Often an ensemble of models or model stacking technique are used to combine the strength of different algorithms and improve overall predictive performance. This is something I've not yet discussed. Obviously, the model that you use will depend on the size of the databability, the kind of requirements you have, the computational resources that are available at your disposal, and whether you want more accurate or you want a better complexity or of the technique. Again, we can use a combination of techniques, or like it's called, models technique technique, which will combine the strength of multiple algorithms to give you a better performance or a better accuracy. Churn factor. What is churn factor? Considers a customer's activity frequency. It is, if a customer's churn factor is high, it is more likely the customer has already churned. And if the customer's churn factor is measured by dividing time since the customer's last activity by the customer's activity frequency. Using churn factor to analyze customer behavior considers each customer's behavior in context, creating a simple yet very powerful churn prediction. So what am I doing? I'm going to use churn factor to analyze customer behavior, and it will I will consider each customer behavior and create a simple yet powerful churn prediction. Analyzing customers' risk of churn in the context of their behavioral pattern gives a deeper understanding of each customer's behavior and increasing potential to retain them longer. So when I come to know there is a customer at risk of being churned, his also his behavioral patterns that are present in the data will tell me what is the reason for his or his tentative reason for his churn, and I will be able to work on those factors to retain them a bit longer. Customer acquisition. So till now we were talking about the churn prediction model. Now let's go on to the next model, which is the customer acquisition model. Customer acquisition is the process of bringing new customers to a business. The goal of this process is to create a systematic, sustainable and acquisition strategy that will evolve with new trends and changes. So like the name suggests, customer acquisition model, I'm basically now going to work on a very systematic approach that will give me a systematic steps to build a sustainable acquisition strategy, irrespective how much ever the patterns and changes are going to evolve over a period of time. To an extent, it will be able to sustain them. Customer acquisition models can be defined as a strategic framework used by businesses to understand and optimize the process of acquiring new customers. Customer acquisition, so getting new customers on board. It outlines the various strategies and touch points a potential customer goes through before making a purchase or becoming a loyal customer. The primary goal of customer acquisition model is to identify the most effective and efficient ways to attract, engage and convert prospects into paying customers. So it's the entire funnel of sales where we basically the customer clicks, and then the end of the day you want to attract, get him to come on the page, and then finally make a sale or make a purchase, making him a paying customer or acquiring the customer. The acquisition may differ between sectors and companies, therefore the acquisition models choose to differ and need tailoring. So as per requirement, we will change the customer acquisition model that is there. So this representation of the model may look like attract, convert, close and delight. Delight is where we talk about brand loyalty or a loyal customer, where they are able to refer or promote your brand to other prospects also, like friends and family. attract probable. So if I attract, then I become a probable. If I visit, if I connect, I become a visitor. If I convert or I go onto the page, I become a lead. If I close, I become a customer. And when I get delighted, I become a promoter. In addition, the channels a company chooses, for instance, a targeted email campaign or a referral program or a digital advertising, the target audience and the available resources will also be a factor in determining the organization customer acquisition model. So, target audience and the resources that are available combined customer acquisition model. So, what is a customer acquisition model? We've already seen it. HubSpot supports a flywheel model which focuses on all marketing and sales efforts around the customer. This is because with a flywheel, you can use the momentum for your happy customers to drive referrals and repeat sales. Basically, your business keeps spinning. So the air makes the business spin, and this is what your happy customers are, the air to the spin wheel. The model primarily consists of two layers, the preparation layer and the implementation layer. So what is the preparation layer? Setting goals, buyer's profile, buyer's journey. So setting goals is what do I want my business to achieve. Buyer's profile, what is the profile of the buyers? What is the buyer's journey? Where in the sales funnel are they? Implementation layer will talk about content. What is the kind of content? What channel? The data that is acquired and the tools for building the model. Selecting a customer acquisition model. The key consideration for selecting a customer acquisition model include type of business the company runs, which I just spoke about, company's budget, or what is the customer in acquisition cost that the company is willing to take on, targeted organization, which is know your customer, identify the ideal customer profile in the funnel and most likely to convert and provide highest CLV, which is a customer lifetime value, how the target audience prefer to be reached, which is also very important to understand, channels to be used based on the target audience preferences, the selected model to be sustainable, cost to acquire the customer CAC should be less than the CLV, which is the customer lifetime value, and remember existing customers. So we talk about the customer acquisition models and the various channels. The channel selected, offline, paid or free, will dictate how and where the company will get its results. So offline channels are events, television, radio, print ads, direct mail, cold calling and trade shows and expos. While the online channels are websites, social media, blog, email, PPC marketing, influencer marketing, search marketing with SEO and SEM, affiliate marketing and finally SMS marketing. Where is the usage? Identify unseen prospects by engaging with them earlier in the customer decision making journey. Effectively attract more potential customers, generating traction for products or services. Prioritize customer segments according to size and ability to win and identify the core target. So identify unseen prospects by engaging them with your content, attracting more potential, so you will end up gaining a lot of traction for your products and services, and learn which segments do you want to prioritize. It could be based on size, it could be based on the quality of those segments, and finally identifying the core target. Once I've identified the core target, I will go on to identify propositions, products, brands or styles that resonate with the target customers using different internal sales data, primary research and merchant feedback. So what are the propositions, products, brands, style? Again, everything that the customer can click with or the ideal customer would click with. How will I do it? Primary research, what is the sales data I have? What is the kind of merchant feedback I have received? increase efficiency of sales and marketing investments and focus resources on the most qualified leads. That means obviously I'm not all my leads are going to be most qualified. So which are the leads that you want to prefer or you think will convert into customers? Probably looking at their customer lifetime value, that is possible, or by trying to understand where they are stuck in the sales funnel. Increase efficiency of sales and marketing events and focus resources on the most qualified leads. Identify preferred channels of communication by customer segment. Use it for interaction, automate target ads, content and messaging. So what is the benefit of customer acquisition models? Allows businesses to scale and generate more income. Stats show that a 1% increase in customer acquisition directly leads to 3.32% increase in a customer bottom line revenue. Value for stakeholders through scaling of customer marketing efforts to drive long-term profits. Measures marketing ROI by providing data on CAC and LTV and optimize accordingly. So 1% increase in the customer acquisition could lead to 3% increase in the company's revenue, bottom line revenue. So if you realize, if I spend 10 rupees on acquiring a customer, it could get me 30 to 33 rupees worth of sales, which is definitely worth the investment. Scaling of marketing to get long-term profits. Like I said, this is the kind of sales you're looking at. And finally, acquisition cost and the lifetime value. And you can optimize accordingly that these are the values in the future I'm looking at. So at this point of time, I can afford to spend so many marketing cost. Results in happy customers, which means retained customer and a lower CAC. 1% improvement in the customer can increase the revenue by 6.7. So we said 1% improvement in the acquisition cost can give you a 3.3% increase. But on the other hand, we just spoke about customer churn. So retaining a customer can increase the revenue by almost double, which is 6.71%. That means if I again spend 10 rupees on retaining a customer, that is going to sum up as a 67 rupees or currency in revenue. The loyal and returning customers can serve as brand ambassadors and refer to others to you, as 92% of the customer trust word of mouth over ads or marketing. So the moment I say, and depending on my friend circle, I say, oh, this is a very good brand, I bought it and the quality was extremely nice, there'll be 10 people. If I speak to 10 people about it in a day, out of those 10 people, also 8 people might go and make a purchase. Why? Because someone has told them that, oh, this is very stable to be used. Provides, and for you also, so you will learn that most of the time when you go to a website or refer to it, it is basically because someone has referred to you and told you that it's a nice brand. Provides a basis for loyalty programs for attracting better quality customers. Provides a roadmap to base marketing and sales effort on a streamlined and unified approach.